Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah! Hello, After Buzzers! Welcome back to the Jane the Virgin After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Before we get started, go ahead and subscribe to our page below if you haven't already, and or find us on SoundCloud or on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars and let us know what you think. I'm your host, Stephanie Georgie. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie or on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie. And today I'll be co-hosting with my main man, Sean Overman. Thank you for joining us. Where can they find you on social media?
You guys can find me at Sean Austin O, that's SeanAustino, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. So today we'll be discussing Chapter 31, which was great and unexpected considering how we left off in the mid-season finale. So much happened this episode, but it was amazing, I feel like.
It was worth the wait.
It was worth the wait, and then it kind of surprised me where it took my emotions as far as Raph goes, because all of you know I'm Team Raph. But before we get into that, we're going to start with our flashback, and it was with little Jane in the second grade in the middle of playing dodgeball, and a little kid was being mean to him. And of course, Jane, being the intelligent little girl that she is, responds to, "I understand why you're doing this. It's because you like me." And I love the line where she's like, "But I don't," what did she say? "I don't respond to that. I respond to kindness."
Yes.
Hilarious. Yeah, right. No second grader would ever say that. But this
maybe
is something.
I could see little girls saying that.
You think so? I respond to kindness?
They're so well mannered. You know, like, that's especially true. When they have such a great abuelita, right?
Of course. So, abuela did give her that advice. And then later, or the little boy goes, "Well, your grandma's wrong. It's because of math class." And then they show a little scene of math class, and he's trying to copy her, and she looks at him and she's like, "You're only cheating yourself," which is hilarious because talk about someone who really was just, in Spanish, the word is hecha y derecha, which is like just, you know, already done and grown and just set in their ways. Jane was like that at a young age.
She's like a total straight arrow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hilarious. So we're going to go ahead and talk about all the different storylines in the episode. And I'd like to start with Raph and Petra. Or more specifically, Petra, because, you know, this is a character that we hate. However, now
we have mixed feelings about her.
We have mixed feelings about her, even though I feel like we can't forget about the beginning. However, that's like in real life. Like, can you always dwell on the past?
No.
Or are you going to allow people to change?
Yeah.
So
give her a second chance. Why not?
Give her a second chance. Petra is further along in her pregnancy. And right now the issue is that Magda turned her in. Or blamed the murder on her.
She had planted evidence.
She had planted evidence and then said that it was Petra. And now Petra is trying to fight for this. And fortunately, Raph is there to help her out and hires a really good attorney.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
All that hotel money being put to good use.
Yeah. During this whole situation, though, I was a little bit bothered because I feel like I had mixed feelings as far as me not wanting Raph and Petra to be together. But I don't know. Okay.
They didn't seem so romantic this
time.
It wasn't
that they were romantic, but I think it's because I saw Petra not without an agenda. her goal here is just to protect herself, which is great. And then there's a scene later in the episode where she is trying to figure out whether or not she should go for this plea. And then he asks her, have you eaten anything today? She thinks about it. He's like, okay, if you have to think about it, that means you haven't eaten anything. So they go into the kitchen at the hotel and he makes her some food. But while they're just kind of talking, it's just so comfortable and natural.
Yeah, it was.
You know?
There wasn't anything behind this conversation. Like, so many times she's had some kind of ulterior motive behind anything she did with anybody, any kind of exchange.
Yes.
But this time it was just like, hey, I'm hungry. Let's take a break. I want to get a steak.
Right.
Right?
So he starts to cook the steak for her and then is, like, sharpening the knife. And she's like, oh, that's kind of grossing me out because you're holding the murder weapon. And they figure out that he received new cutlery prior to...
It was after.
Oh, yeah, after. It was brand new cutlery, and it was after the murder, which fortunately is what Magda used as the murder weapon. Mm-hmm. The only thing that happened before that was Petra was trying to catch Magda, but she was smart, and she's like, I know that you have a recorder in the room, and kind of catches her up on that, but... They were right, and because Magda turned in, what do they call it, false evidence?
Yes. They were able to get her for planting evidence.
Exactly, planting false evidence. Magda is taken away, but then looks at Petra and says, you made the wrong choice.
Ooh.
Right.
And those are words that are going to haunt her later on, according to Latin lover narrator.
Yes, and he also asks us to forget about that, but... Of course, we're not going to, and now I'm going to be thinking about that every episode. Okay, so that was the Raph and Petra storyline. I'm actually really surprised that Raph did not speak to Jane at all once. There was nothing between them the entire episode, nor was Raph a part of Mateo's sleep regression, which we'll get into that in a second. But one person that was in Jane's life this episode was Michael. So we start off with a dream that Michael comes up to the door and says, everything, you know, I spoke to Raph and everything's okay. And what does he say to her? Something about wanting to... I don't know. They leaned for a kiss, but it was wrong. I believed it. Yeah. Sean was like, it's fake!
It was too perfect. I was like... Because you saw him at the door. And then I saw him too. And I was like, yes, yes, he's there. He's going to get her back. Because I'm so Team Michael still. But then I was like, wait, it's not going well. It's too perfect. Mm-hmm. If it's too perfect, it's got to be a fantasy. It's got to be some kind of dream that Jane usually has. Mm-hmm. And we have dodgeball come between them too. It's like, okay, it was totally fake.
It was fake. Michael... I was confused about this too because, well, no, maybe I'm happy because I said, I did want Jane to have a break from these two people. And I'm glad that we have a relationship with them now because whatever happens later will happen. But we see Mike comfortable in his case with his partner, which I can't remember her name for the life of me.
I forgot too.
Yeah, I was trying to think during the episode. Forgive us. Go ahead and tweet us out or whatever it is. But
yeah.
So you see him cool with them. They're still kind of going through the case, which I'll kind of bring up the case throughout this discussion as well. But that's cool. But however, later when Xiomara is walking home or she's going to a Cubano truck, she sees Michael with a girl whom she thinks is potentially a girlfriend because of the way that they were acting.
And that was Natalie Turner?
Tanner. Natalie Tanner. Okay. Side note, in Ravenswood... The show that I first saw Brett Dreyer in, he is dating I want to say she's mixed. I don't know with what. So that's really cute, you know? Not your, like, he's a typical little, like, white boy, not your typical white girl. In this show, he dates, you know, Jane, Latina. And then Natalie Tanner looks, again, she also looks mixed. Maybe she could be, like, Dominican, Puerto Rican, or just mixed with something else. But regardless... I like his taste in women. Just want to throw that out there. Oh, and then he hooked up with Nadine. Also great.
What else is a white man to do when he's living in a sea of beautiful Latina women in Miami?
You're right. I guess that's his only choices. Right? Okay, but I'm totally a fan.
It's like a white boy living here in California, in L.A. It's like, what's a guy to do?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, touche. So we see that, but then we're not really sure if that's anything serious. Did you think
I didn't think they were seeing each other, actually. I didn't think that it was going to be his girlfriend. that he brought it up at the end, it was kind of a surprise to me. Like, maybe half surprise.
Right.
Because I felt like, okay, it's looking like that. You know, Siomara is interpreting it that way, and therefore so are we. But it could just be, like, that's his friend, or that's a new coworker, or just someone at the front desk, not his girlfriend, you know? But turns out that it is his girlfriend. I feel like we don't know anything about her, so I don't feel like a connection to her at all.
Neither do I, and I'm wondering if he said it as a lie. Also, I feel like when he told her, he looked emotional.
Yeah.
He looked a little emotional to me. So maybe he's making things up so that he can actually create an even larger distance between them. Or perhaps he knew that maybe Jane, knowing Jane, because he knows her so well, that Jane probably had like false hope. And he wanted to eliminate that, which he lets her know by saying, or she brings up the angel, and he's like, I know what that, and this could also be true, but he says, I know what that meant to your family, and that's why I left it at the door and didn't ring, because it wasn't about us. And as much as I was thinking, yeah, right, you're just saying that because you want to be nice, I feel like that was the best thing to do. That was being really responsible.
I agree with you. I do feel like he wouldn't say that that's his girlfriend and have it be a lie, because even though Michael has withheld things, he doesn't straight out lie about stuff.
Like, he won't make something up.
Yeah,
you're right. Okay,
he will not make something up.
All right, heard. Yep. Okay, so then Michael has a girlfriend. Her name is Natalie Tanner, and we know nothing of her.
Nope.
Fortunately, he is doing better in his own case.
And the Mutter case.
The Mutter case. His partner is trying to get things out of Luisa by...
Yeah, she wants to keep investigating, right? Finding out the truth, finding out where Mutter is, where Mia is, because last time, I don't know if it was last time or a couple episodes ago, but
they thought
she was in that old folks' home. She was not there. Right, so the investigation continues, and then that's where they talk about that magic lake.
Yes, so she gets Luisa to do it by, like, the touch of a hand. And Luisa's like, are you using the fact that I like you? And she's like, yes, a little bit. Of course Luisa likes that. And she gives them the hint of the lake with the magic fish. That helps. Which, actually, I'm really, really surprised that we find out that Mia's dead. And it's quite sad.
It was like a really quick thing that I guess you don't need too much of an explanation.
You don't.
But it would have been cool if we got to see them go to the body, uncover wherever she was, do DNA testing. But because they just took care of it in like two lines, it was really unsatisfying. Like, they did all this investigation trying to find Mutter,
right?
And then it ends up not being Mia. You know, like, it's just like, oh, okay, whatever.
And the fact how they described her. So we hear two descriptions of her. One, we hear one from Elena, is her name? Is Raph's mom's name?
Right.
We hear one from her saying that she had heard that she had mental problems, and then we heard that from other people. Then when they go to the lake and they speak to the near, convenience store guy, he also says that, she was really quiet. She kept to herself. And then finally with Mike's partner, she says that, she died 8 years ago, and she, really kind of lived a life of solitude, if you will. I don't know. That's all they said, and they didn't. Yeah. It didn't seem like they're going to get something out of it. Maybe the writers were just like, you know what, we're done with this storyline, and let's kind of turn it.
I guess they didn't really need to, but I think it would have been nicer to hear, like, maybe, I don't know, to see, maybe if we had seen, like, a grave or something, or some kind of, like, some place where she was.
Right.
You know, but all we
she did... just gave us that announcement, like, oh, okay, so you are no longer part of the show.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Like, DNA testing on that character that's dead is confirmed.
Yeah. So that was that. And should we talk about I can't decide if I want to leave that for last or not.
No, let's talk about it now. Great. We're already talking about Raph.
Exactly. So, like I said, Elena also mentions Luisa's mom. And while she's talking about her, she talks about her because she said that that's when she first arrived in the country, and then she got married so quickly to Raph's dad, and this and that. So then he's in the back grabbing something of hers.
Elena's box, right? And he sees letters, old letters, and they have that blue ribbon around it, blue cords around them.
Soap, whatever, from all of the case before, which is great. I'm glad that they made that a big deal so that we also knew. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, she's
for those of you who are not watching, I just pretended to stab my neck.
She syringed him. And it's some kind of tranquilizer?
B-I-T-C-H?
Wow, her own son.
Her own son.
Wow. I feel like she didn't care about him at all. Her coming back now was only to find out what kind of evidence the police had against her, and she wanted to recover everything to make it look like she was a ghost again, like just gone into the ether.
Right. And then I kind of felt sad for a second because Petra tries to explain, which also made her look kind of silly, but she's like, well, I don't know. I kind of understand that. I feel like that's something that I would do. And that part made me laugh because I was like, duh, you would do that, Petra. Hello.
Because all she cares about is money.
Is money, right. She's like, but that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. And I don't know, but does that mean you're a good person? Not necessarily. And with Elena, she was just saying, you know, I was in a bad place. However, when she describes it, I do believe it a little more, where if you're with someone who's so, controlling.
Yeah. And always gone, you fall for somebody else.
And oh yeah, exactly. And then he offers you $10 million. No, but Ralph has a point. Yeah, right. I mean, I don't care if I was younger than 24, but I feel like I had a pretty good head on my shoulders at 24.
I feel like no mother would abandon their child, even with $10 million, unless there's some kind of ulterior motive. For her, it's, okay, I'll take the money so I can start my own drug empire.
Exactly.
That's craziness.
Right.
So now we know what she used the $10 million for.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And now we just have to see what's going to... I hope Ralph's... Of course, he's going to be okay. But... I just I don't know what's going to happen with this Mutter storyline and what they're going to do and if they're going to find out if this is going to affect Jane in any way. Who knows?
Well, it already did affect Jane because when Elena was behind Raph, she was saying something about the flash drive. Something about the flash drive and who did you give it to? And, like, you know, when you exchanged Mateo for the flash drive, like, I want that flash drive. What was on it? Like, she was saying stuff about it.
Right.
So, and I totally forgot about that flash drive or whatever. Did we?
Oh, my God, from the kidnapping.
Yeah,
yes,
the
in
kidnapping.
The exchange.
Yes, yes. During
and then Dean is the one who had it.
This happened.
So then is Rose... You see, that's where I'm confused. This is a pretty good storyline because now I'm not sure who's for who and who's against what.
Yeah.
Or if they were just all victims in, like, something that's going on between Mutter and Rose.
Yeah. Is Sin
and
Rostro,
if it has nothing to do with them.
Sin Rostro and Mutter have some kind of conflict going on as well.
Oh, my God. They're these both crazy, gnarly female drug lords. Get out of here.
Yeah.
El Chapo and Pablo Escobar. It's like...
Against each other.
That guy's pretty lame. I mean, that's funny that he's trying to, like, make himself a big thing, but... Anyways, Colombians always win that war. Sorry. Yes. Kidding. So that's crazy. Hopefully nothing happens because Jane is already stressed enough. Well, not anymore. With, I guess, from 8 to 10 months,
there's
a sleep regression that babies go through. And it was hilarious because they had, who are the two basketball guys from Sports Center?
They actually had what were the guy's name? They had Lee Reherman, and he's an actor.
Yes, he's an actor.
And I've seen him, the place that I saw him in was Star Trek Into Darkness. Mm-hmm. He was one of the mercenary guys in there. But I thought he was, when I saw him, I was like, this is like a football player and a basketball player doing some game, which is funny. Like, so, like, you wouldn't think so, but... Then we have John Sally there, and he's from the Pistons, and he was a big player back in the late 90s or 80s to 2000s.
Yeah.
And so it was cool to see him there.
Right.
I remember him. He's a funny actor.
He is.
Yeah, he's
great. They were breaking down the play-by-play of them trying to get Mateo to go to sleep. And Alba, throughout this entire thing, cracks me up because...
I wanted to say one quick thing before we continue with that. I thought it was so funny how, because we watch this on DVR, so we're always, like, fast-forwarding through the commercials, and I feel like this was Jane the Virgin's, like, the writer's way of, like, putting a one-up on us, the people who fast-forward through commercials, because we think that this is a commercial.
Right. Because we did stop, and then we got confused. Because then they were in the background. We're like, wait, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah, we're like, wait,
no,
what's
it was
going
great.
On here?
I did love that, especially how they started it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I definitely did think, I was like, what game are they recapping right now? That was literally what went through my mind. And I was like, that's not SportsCenter. What is that?
Hoops.
I know, right? Hoops. That's what it was called. So they're going through the play by play, and I like how they actually call Alba, like, the good defense. And what did she say? Pero cómo habla? Oh, yeah. So I have to make a point that Alba, when she gets, like, frustrated, the way she is just so wonderfully Latina that I love it. And and she cracks me up because she's like, el bebé no se duerme así. Like, the baby doesn't fall asleep that way. And I have to say, oh, my gosh, I would be so annoyed if Jane kept going in there, like, all the time, because that's something that I definitely grew up with and knew. And I've never had a baby or anything, but I would know to leave his ass in the room if he kept crying.
Just let him cry his little lungs out. You know what's funny is that in Jane, she's, even though she has a lot of Latin culture, she's very Americanized as well, and that's what a lot of television shows, that's what we see. Like, we always see people, like, going to extremes to have their baby fall asleep, like in, like, Mad About You, that show in the 90s, they would take their baby in a taxi ride make the baby fall asleep, right? I've seen shows where it's like they put the baby on a treadmill with them in the stroller and then makes the baby fall asleep, you know? So, like, her rocking the baby is like a lesser degree of that, but still, like, you have to do that motion.
Yeah, and you're
people
there.
Think that's what makes the baby fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And it does, but then you're stuck now being like a human rocker for the child, which you can't do.
Yeah, absolutely not. And that's quite silly, too, because here's the thing, though. I understand some people are like, oh, my God, no, you're neglecting the baby. No, that's not that's not what it is. It's just, you know, it's a human. It's attention. Alba explains everything very literal. Yeah. You know, when he bumps his head on the thing, he's doing that for attention. Like, he's angry. And then I was like, why would a baby do that? And then I was thinking about me crying about my hair today. And I was like, and I punched the wall. And my mom was there. And I was like, I just wanted to look and be like, Stephanie, it's okay. I'm kidding. I made that up. Kind of. I did hit the wall and I was really angry. So that went off on a different tangent.
You look great today.
Thank you.
You should not be pounding your fist against the wall.
You see, it worked, everyone. I'm just kidding. But so Alba's just hilarious. And then they go through this whole thing and she kind of talks about the coddling, and it connects with Jane's school life as well, because she begins as a teacher assistant, and there's a theme of tough love that plays in both Jane's academic life and her home life. So Jane is a teacher assistant for Books for Ballers class.
Yes, but it's actually Great Books 105. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the basketball players call it Books for Ballers because they all pass probably.
Mm-hmm. And it was really sweet because I didn't realize that a teacher assistant would be teaching a class. So I liked seeing her doing that, because obviously that's what she's wanted to do. And moreover, because it's focused on what she loves and what her passion is. So she's trying to teach this class, and the first day they're just not listening. So she goes home, she figures out how to make a comparison. Then we see the next scene of her comparing the NCAA game of 19 whatever, and
with UConn.
Yeah. And then compares it. Oh, I didn't even hear that she talked about that player, but
yeah. No, it was UConn, like University of Connecticut playing the game versus some other team. I didn't catch the other team. But she's coddling them.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
And it's the same thing with like you mentioned, in her home life, she's she's coddling Mateo. Mm-hmm. And then it's also like Rogelio is being coddled by the rest of the family, too, because they're not telling him the truth.
Right. I mean, and Rogelio's just coddled, period. So then she finally gets the class's attention by doing the comparison, and she compares it to Pride and Prejudice, which is a little bit quite impressive, you know, to do that. But then she has an issue with the all-star player, Matt McNeil, whom doesn't want to write, and he doesn't make the paper, so then she gives him a second chance, and then he plagiarizes. And then the counselor calls and tries to get her to give him, like, a pass. And then she does this little competitive thing where she plays basketball against him, and then he actually writes the paper, and then things kind of fall into place at home where Mateo actually falls asleep. And everything is for the better. And then we have her issue now to bring in Rogelio, is that Glamma. Liliana arrives.
Have we gotten to meet? We haven't met her before.
We
right?
have met her before.
Oh, we have met
yes,
her
and
before.
Because she doesn't love Xiomara. She arrives and she's a little bit indifferent, and we find out it's because Manuel, her husband, is gay.
And she was withholding it at first.
Right.
I had a feeling, and it didn't turn out this way, but I had a feeling like, I want to test, like, she was thinking, like, oh, I want to test Jane to see if she'll blab it to the rest of the family.
Oh, right.
And it's not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't that way. Anyway, so that was so weird, like, how everything played out.
I,
Funny stuff with Rogelio, though.
Yeah, hilarious things. I was surprised that she knew about it because she seemed so genuine. And, I mean, yes, I'm happy for anyone who finally comes out, but I'm sorry for it. At the same time, I wish, like, this is the reason why I have to. Now I'm gonna take this somewhere else, actually, like an actual current event situation where I think that homosexuality needs to be spoken about more and needs to be less of a secret for those who think it's, who want to keep it a secret for their whole life and then completely F up and traumatize this woman, you know? Mm-hmm. And then other people will argue, well, like, shouldn't you know? I don't know. That's the last thing that you want to know. Like, that's awful. Oh my God, if that, after 47 years, what if that wasn't, let's just pretend for discussion's sake, that he actually was kept it in the closet and
he never said anything.
And he never said anything until later. Like, what a... Jeez Louise.
Well, she already had a lot of terrible feelings about it. Like, oh, was he imagining another man when he right. wasn't with me?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, that's painful.
It's a painful thing for a woman, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I feel like now we can kind of see where Rogelio gets a little bit of his flamboyant personality from. Right?
Oh, right.
Maybe. Even though he's a very manly man.
He is.
But he likes to dress a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very expressive with his body and stuff, which is not the typical Latin man.
Yeah. That just goes to show you, too, that you're born the way that you are. So even though he's straight, because of his influence of being raised a certain way, that's just kind of what you know. And Rogelio's hilarious because he lets us all know that he's so gay friendly. And he needs to let his mom know that. So they have a dinner with Alba's friend from, she was like, yo lo conoció en la iglesia, which is she her gay friend that she met at church, and he, you know, just describes his life and everything. And then Jane invites her gay friend over, and then they discuss how they were there. And then Rogelio just ruins it with the prayer and says, let us pray for men seeking women, women seeking women, man seeking man. And then it all just comes out.
And he also mentions, we're going
to... Oh, yeah, and for dessert?
And for dessert, Ricky Martin?
Yeah!
He could possibly come?
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Side note, again, Ricky Martin was the second concert I ever went to.
Whoa!
Enrique Iglesias, before the English album, was the first.
Wow.
I know.
So cool.
It's lame. But I can't even believe how Latina I was when I was a kid. I didn't even think of it.
Were you in love with Ricky?
I did love him, and I was butthurt when I found out he was gay.
Oh!
Yeah. And as well as Lance Bass and everyone else in the industry that kept it in for a while. So then he gets to have this discussion with Liliana, and she makes us feel bad because she says that she moved out of her parents' house moves in with Manuel.
Yeah, she didn't have, like, a dating life at all, which I'm sure a lot of Latina women, you know, back in her generation, they didn't do. They didn't date, right? They had a man court them while they lived at home with their mother and father, mm-hmm. and they just moved right in.
My thing is, I'm wondering that even if they had an arrangement, I can see Liliana still falling in love or still kind of being hopeful that that was just...
Like,
especially if
she's
traditional, yes. Or if it was just a phase, or if she could just keep him for long enough that then he would dedicate himself or whatever the case may be. But then Diego Manuel arrives, Manuel, and he says hi. He sees Jane, and that was a really nice, like, interaction, and then sees Rogelio. And my favorite part of the show is when everyone is speaking in Spanish.
Yeah, that hasn't happened on this show yet. Like, we've had, like, here and there with mm-hmm. Abuela, but overall it's just Abuela who's speaking. And then everybody else speaks to her in English, and she just responds back initially in Spanish.
I just like that because it just goes to show you that that's really what it looks like in a Latina home, you know? Me and all of my cousins, my brothers and my sisters, we all speak English to each other. In fact, when I try speaking in Spanish to them, they're like, ew, don't do that. Everyone else hears me and they think like, oh yeah, you're fluent in Spanish, that's great. And my family's not even comfortable hearing me speak Spanish because they think it's weird because we're so used to speaking English.
So it depends on the dynamics.
It depends on the dynamics.
The
older generation
when
is speaking,
they come in,
because it's their first language and that's how they spoke to each other growing up. So the English doesn't play a factor. Both of my parents speak English. They never speak English to each other. You know, my entire family speaks English. They don't speak English to each other. So I really liked seeing that, especially just Jane in the middle and Xiomara in the middle, because those are the first generation, and Rogelio the same way, but Rogelio speaking in Spanish the whole time. So, and he's Jaime Camille is such a famous actor, so that's just nice to see that side of him. But anyway, so everything kind of comes out, and then there's just tough love with the coddling and all this craziness that happens. And we're left at, I don't know, it's just, it's almost neutral with the exception of we don't know what's going on with Raph now.
No, we don't know. He's on the floor in that closet, probably, yeah. With drugs flowing through his system.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's going to be crazy to see what happens.
Now, okay, am I leaving anything out?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we pretty much got everything.
Okay, so now let's go ahead and go into predictions. However, it's going to be another discussion. Predictions. Okay.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions/discussion, because I'm going to just think about, or I'm going to speak about what could happen and then whatever.
But I wanted to say something really quick about Yael Gabriel. How do you say her last name? I forgot. She plays Petra.
Petra, yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be in a movie called, well, she is in a movie called Jerusalem, which is out now.
She's Israeli, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like a horror film that takes place in Jerusalem.
Oh, amazing.
It looks pretty cool. I thought it was a zombie flick at first, but it looks like it's more than that.
Oh, amazing. So keep out for that. But I was going to say that because we didn't see Jane and Raph interact at all, I'm really hoping that this next episode, that she'll be like, you know what? We haven't heard from Raph. And like, Raph's really good about checking in on Mateo.
Yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers that she'll go into the hotel and check on him and then find him and then, I don't know, something happens.
I think that's a good idea. We could also have Petra.
Oh, right. Petra will.
She could do something too. Because and she's closer.
She is.
I'm not team Petra.
It's totally going to be Petra. It's going
to
be Petra.
Yeah, I'm not team Petra, but I think proximity-wise, it would make more sense for her to go over there.
Of course it does. I mean, we might end up really liking Petra.
Yeah, she could save him in essence, or I don't know, or maybe find Elena mm-hmm. in some way. But I feel like Elena's going to be far gone by the time she gets to him. I feel like Glamma's going to move in with Rogelio.
I think so also.
In his little studio.
I think so also. Yeah,
yeah, and he's always going to have her around with him.
And it's going to freak him out, and he's going to go nuts.
And it's going to make for funny dynamics.
It will. I'm excited for that too. And then, man. You know, I'm still hoping that the babies aren't Raph's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if Petra and Raph end up together. I just don't want that. I just want Raph's baby to be with Jane.
They haven't done a DNA test on babies yet. She just said it was marked as his, but who knows? That place could have messed up again, the fertility clinic.
And absolutely.
They could have put someone else's sperm in there, mislabeled the bottle or whatever.
I don't even know if it might have not even been the bottle that was labeled. It could have just been in like a cubby that was labeled, which in that case, absolutely could be wrong. But who knows? However, in the previews, we see, yes! So we see Lena talking to Jane about her getting some action.
Yeah.
And then we see something about Jane with some guy who's like, oh, I'm going with...
some young dude.
Yeah, about who had a girlfriend or whatever. But moreover...
Then we
Adam
see...
Adam Rodriguez, I think was his real name. Professor Chavez. Yeah!
Totally open-shirted.
Oh, man, and the way he picks her up.
Lays her down
Louise.
On his desk.
Yes! Amen to that! Somebody put me on a desk!
But I feel like that is a daydream or some kind of fantasy. It's not actually. Or it's something that Jane's writing. So maybe she...
It could be. Or it could be Pride and Prejudice, you know, kind of getting in her head or something. Or maybe it's the next book. We'll see what the next book is because I'm excited. I hope something happens between them because, you know what, it is a dream because I think he says your brains are so smart. That's her type of fantasy.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what?
Excuse me.
And you know what, too? I feel like... It was kind of convenient that they chose like a really good-looking, tall, muscular basketball player dude to put in there. Like, even though she's a TA and she shouldn't have any relationships mm-hmm. with him, hey, she's about that. She's having some feelings towards her.
Maybe some tutorial time.
Yeah, her mentor is that what he's called? Yeah. So hey, why not have it go the other way with her?
The basketball player was kind of cute.
Being the older, more mature woman who's a TA, having something with the younger student who she's, you know, like, passing a little bit with a C-minus, right?
You know, a little bit of basketball games together, you know, no big deal.
And let's just have him be, like, professional about it, too, and not, like, hold any grudges against her, right?
Yeah. Ooh, I could totally see him falling for her, though. He looks like a dummy that way.
Yeah. Yeah, he could be.
Just another one falling for Jane.
And then she needs this. She needs
she does need this
in her life to just get over. She's over Michael already. She unfriended him.
Right. And which led her to sleep better that night. And I mean, who knows? We'll see where her heart goes. But she really does need perspective. And she needs to just kind of try different things out. And then, I don't know. I can't even believe how good they made this episode where I couldn't even tell you. I can't even see her with either of them.
Do you think we're going to see, you know what? Let me tell you. I think we are going to see Luisa and Michael's partner in bed next time.
I do too, because Luisa has got it like that. I also think that because of the fantasy, she might attempt something with the mentor, but he might deny her.
Yes.
Which would be nice. She needs to be denied.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, she kind of was rejected by Michael right now, but still.
So then she'll have the fantasy, and then she'll say something or she'll take a step towards it, but then it's going to be, like, rejected.
Right. Maybe she'll be rejected to him, and then she's like, well, then let me try my version, and then she'll go to McBaskets.
McBaskets.
Well, on that note, that means just so much is going to happen on our To Be Continued. But otherwise, where can they find you on social media, Sean?
You guys can find me at Sean Austin O. That's SEANAUSTINO on Twitter and Instagram. And be sure to check out my book, City of Angels and Discontent. And that is on the Amazon store and the iBookstore.
Do you have any other shows this week?
I am also going to be doing The Expanse. That's a sci-fi channel show. And I'm going to be doing that on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, I believe.
Excellent. And you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie, on Instagram at The Stephanie Georgie. And for the Fosters premiere tomorrow at live at 7 p.m., Wednesday night for American Idol. And I'm really excited to announce February 2nd, American Crime Story. It's The People versus O.J. Simpson. On February 2nd, we'll be doing that as well. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Toodles!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.